And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report. This Thursday, May 8th, 2013, I'm Joe Hagman, your co-host. My other co-host, Doug, is in the building. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he should be here shortly. We're going to have a very special broadcast tonight, and I'm sorry, it's Wednesday, not Thursday. I screwed that up. With Augusto Perez tonight will be our guest, and it's been a while since he's been on our show. And we're going to be talking about things in the spiritual world. As if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, our website, I'll post this link in the chat room. We have a promo up for the show. And my dad has an interesting story about how it came about that he was going to be on our show today. And part of the story is I've been asking him for the last couple of weeks if he could email Steve for Mr. Prez's number, because we did not have it for some reason. And he didn't get a chance to do that yet. And something's just pretty strange. I wouldn't say strange. Maybe divine happened. And my dad's here. He's hooking up right now. So I want him to tell this story because I think it's important. And there you are.
Well, I'll tell you, this was a situation of not looking at the clock, apparently. I apologize for that. But some tardy, huh?
Yeah, you didn't hear me yell, 5 minutes, 3 minutes.
I heard yelling. I just didn't know if it was cries for out of frustration or cries out of for me. But it's interesting. I didn't catch, because I was on my way into the studio here, I didn't exactly catch what was said so far. It was interesting. You know, you're talking about Augusto Perez, correct?
Yes, I was talking about him coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, and folks, I got to tell you, look, I've got really one type of dream only. I don't know if you're like me or not. The only types of dreams I have, I don't have any visions. I have vision, but no visions. And dreams are usually the result of dietary issues prior to slumbering. But today I was I was just exhausted, so I had gone home and asked my wife to wake me up. I wanted to catch an hour's sleep, and this was, I don't know, this is probably noonish, and I said, look, just get me up about 1 o'clock. I just need an hour, just quiet time to relax. And I fell asleep. And
you told her 12:30.
Oh yeah, I did tell her 12:30, and she actually woke me up at 1 o'clock. And it was at that time when she woke me up. She said, "Hey, or it was at the time that she woke me up that she says it's time to get up." And I thought, okay. And at that moment, I realized I was having a dream about Augusto Perez, and the dream was I was looking for a book. I don't know where this was, okay, except to say that it appeared somewhere tropical or subtropical because of the plants and stuff. But having said that, whatever this book was, it was important. And I'm not even sure what book it was, but I remember Augusto Perez being there and with me, or we were together, or I was with him or whatever, but we were looking for this particular book. And it was important. It was, I just felt this overwhelming feeling of that whatever was in this book or whatever value this book had, it was extremely important. Well, then, of course, my wife wakes me up. And I woke me up. There went the dream. And it was almost to the point where I wanted to go back to sleep to finish the dream. Did you ever have one of those dreams?
Yes, I have. Oh, okay. And I've had dreams where I've woken up and never wanted to sleep again.
Yeah, well, those are usually my dreams because I'm usually, you know, getting chased by, you know, six-headed monsters and you can't run and you can't shoot. And the typical psychotic dreams that one might have. So at any rate, I got to the studio and I opened up my email and there was an email from Augusto Perez. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really weird. And I thought, wow, you know, okay, so what are the chances? And very cordial, he said, hey, really have some things. Now, he's just back from Honduras and places here in North America on missionary trips, but he came back and said, I've got some things on my heart I need to share with you. And I said, man, it's really amazing that you sent me this. I called him up after I got this email, as soon as I opened it. I called him up and I said, hey, I got to tell you about this dream I had. You were in it, and I don't dream like this. And we talked for a little bit, and he said, wow, you know, because and he related some things to me during our conversation, which I'm sure we'll get into during the program. But it was just so odd because there were things that coincided with each other, the conversation that we had and the dream. And it's like, okay. So once again, it was just one of those things. It could be nothing. But then, again, I don't have these dreams. I've got, you know, just I've got the psycho dreams, the too much pizza dreams, as opposed to these telling dreams. So that said, it's going to be an interesting program for sure, and especially given all of the headlines.
What headlines?
You know, the Benghazi hearings. You've got the stuff going on.
What's Benghazi?
Yeah, what is Benghazi? It's no, actually, it's Chris Christie, his
lap
surgery.
Lap dancers, yeah. That's what I was hearing on my news today.
Did you just say lap dancers? Is Chris
lap band. Lap band.
Oh, okay.
Surgery.
I thought perhaps Chris Christie was
no
lap dancers.
I'm saying that in sarcasm because really, we were talking before the show, and we talked about this last night on the show about the effect of the information that comes out today. Well, a lot of information came out today. I'd say enough to probably arrest most of the people that were in charge in the State Department and even the executive branch, but not a murmur from the public.
You know, I don't. There's as the gentleman I spoke with earlier prior to the program, as he was talking, he said, you know, that there's a crack in the dam, of course. We're going to have to see as the dust settles. I was particularly offended by one of the congressmen who said death is a part of life.
Oh, yeah. They're explaining away. This is how they're trying to justify the lack of action or the intentional inaction by saying, well, you know, everybody dies sometime. It's crazy. And we have a fourth Benghazi witness that was not allowed to testify today. The headline reads, fourth Benghazi witness gagged by red tape, more like gagged by the Obama administration from speaking.
Well, and that's part of it. I mean, I think what really, in the end here, I think what really, if people understand just one thing, the actions of
the
Obama
criminal
regime. Yes, that's
right. All we need to know. But go ahead.
No, I just think that people understand that with the actions of this regime, we are actually we are actually doing the bidding for the Saudis, who are, you know, being controlled by the globalists. This is a war about the energy. It's a war about the future. And this is a third world war. You know, what difference does it make, the words from Hillary Clinton? Well, you tell that to the mother and daughter who were killed by a mortar that was fired by the FSA, by the Free Syrian Army, in an attempt to make it look like the Assad regime did it and, of course, snuffed out their lives. Yeah, what difference does it make Hillary Clinton to that family or to the other families or to the 70,000 dead people in Syria that soon will become 7 million when this world war goes hot. But, of course, it's going to go hot in incremental steps. But, you know, I am angry.
The last, decade of deaths from U.S. intervention or U.S. wars? It's in the millions, multi-millions.
Well, there's no coherent strategy behind this arming the Syrian rebels.
Were you going to say freedom fighters?
No, I wasn't actually. I am so angry at the fact that you've got this hubris behind this hubris of the Clintons, of Hillary Clinton, of Obama, of Jarrett, and of course it has come out where the one I know.
It came out today that the Special Forces unit that was nearby was told not to go, told to stand down, which is something you reported on months and months and months and months ago.
Yeah, and there's things I haven't reported on. I was talking with the gentleman that has given me a lot of information. There's things that I have not said, but let's just say that there's so much more to this. It's about nation building. It's about securing the future for energy. It's about oil. You think George Bush was about oil, energy? Well, he may have been. He was. He was. Okay. To be technically accurate. But let me tell you something. It's all in the same. It's the same. This is the same.
I mean, you had George Bush start his first oil company with money from the Bin Laden family. So, yeah, they had their Saudi interest and their oil interest. And just like you said, it's the same thing with Obama. He's continuity of agenda. He's done the same things, extended the Patriot Act, extended the drone program, all the things that were promised to be changed in the Hope and Change campaign from 2008. But it was hope we change.
They're all answering to the same paymasters, and the same paymasters are the same people that you're. I mean, we're going to see, folks. You're going to see who's really running things when war breaks out, and when we have we have bombs going off. And look, we've got 42 nations right now involved in military maneuvers, at least on our side. Who's on the other side? And by the way, 42.
Other nations who aren't just don't have the capabilities because they're so poor.
Well,
third world countries, aside from just a few. I mean, really, most of the countries in Europe. You got Australia, you got the United States, China, Russia, those areas. But I mean, out of the 42 countries involved in conflicts right now, look at those countries. And then look at a map and look at the rest of the countries and see the poverty level in a lot of these countries. I mean, they couldn't launch a war if they wanted to. And so that's concerning because how many powerhouse nations are there in the world? Well, I wouldn't say more than 50.
Well,
I mean, and in powerhouse, I don't mean,
Right. Now, I get what you mean. But in the end, this is going to be a war where the United States is going to be pitted against Russia and China. It's biblical, really. It's biblical in nature. If you look at it, we're being set up just like the Bible has prophesied. You can argue this on a secular basis all day long. I have no problem with that. Historically, we can argue about this, or we could talk about this in the historical context about what we're seeing, and we could also talk about this in the biblical context. And those people who dismiss the biblical context or the biblical prophetic consequences of what's going on are not seeing the entire picture here. Because we are seeing prophecy roll out right before our very eyes. And, I have a feeling that Augusto Perez might even get into this a little bit.
Yeah, there is no doubt that prophecy is right in our face. It is unfolding before us. We know that deception's been around since the beginning of time. The Garden of Eden, Eve was deceived into sinning, and when Jesus came, the people were so deceived they did not recognize him as who he was, the Messiah, all the way till now, where people are so deceived, and now there are tools used to further that deception and further that the lies. And I want to read this to you because I was with my wife waiting in the doctor's office today. You know how long those waits can be, but I was messing around putting new applications on my phone, and I just want to, this application talks about the beginning of the universe, and it says, based on various observations, scientists have concluded that our universe was born as a result of the Big Bang, which gave birth not only to matter, also to space and time itself. Now, that flies right in the face of the Lord and creation. And this is what the Bible refers to as as wisdom or knowledge that is used to destroy. But one thing I thought was interesting here, they said the Milky Way galaxy was formed on May 1st in this app. Now, I don't know where they got this date from. I don't know. I just thought that was odd, knowing the history we had.
How does that work? I mean, seriously, okay.
That's what, I mean, May 1st is, they say, the...
Wow.
Let me read you exactly what it says. It's a short paragraph, and we'll get Augusto on the line. Don't want to keep him waiting. But May 1st, origin of the Milky Way galaxy, 4.5 billion years ago. This thing keeps skipping. It's a slideshow. Formed according to observations that happened as a result of a compression of a giant gas cloud, the star formation process and supernova explosions had contributed to forming. May 1st, 4,973 billion years after the Big Bang. That's what they say. But it was just weird. I thought this was an app about, you know, star mapping and where you can find stars at night. But really, it was interesting when I came across that because it just made me think of New Age teachings, evolution, and that kind of stuff. But I'm going to call Mr. Perez.
Well, while I do that, I just want to give a bit of news here. Remember, folks, and the new listeners who are new to the program, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, that's our home base on the Internet. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. And our colleagues to the north, CanadaFreePress.com, that's CanadaFreePress.com, great people up there. Look, we have cited the fact the dollar is about to collapse, or is in line to collapse. And it's interesting because we've been seeing some recent information about this. Obama has done it. He's brought America down. It took him over 4 years. And I'm going to be writing some more about this here in the near term, because one of the issues that is important that I think is the economic aspect of the war that we're seeing play out, because a part of what's going on in the Middle East and also the South of China with North Korea and China, the fact that there's a war with the dollar. This particular regime wants to destroy the U.S. dollar and all of the countries that use that as its reserve currency. And of course, the object here is to bring this into a one world governance with a single currency. And I think that agenda is pretty transparent. Now, having said that, and earlier at the beginning of the program, I just related it to the audience about the very, very interesting dream I had. And as I said, I don't have dreams, with the exception of the fruitcake ones that, you know, are associated with dietary issues. But I had a dream about Augusto Perez. Now, folks, if you've never heard of Augusto Perez, and I can't believe that you haven't, he's the founder of Appearance Ministries. He's blessed with tremendous spiritual insight and applies that insight into the assessment of present-day events. Mr. Perez, Steve Quayle calls him the Ricardo Montalban of the current biblical eschatology. But he was born in Cuba back in 1951. He lived there for 12 years. He came to the United States in 1963 with his family, where he lived here ever since. And Augusto Perez is, I consider him, I'm truly honored to even to be able to talk to him and to be able to know him, because he is just a great man. He conducts leadership seminars, training seminars, in sessions for ministries all over the country and all over the world. And I would say that from childhood, Mr. Perez felt that God had very important work for him to do when he got older. And at the age of 30, one night as he was lying on his bed sleeping, he got, I would say, a call to begin that work. He heard someone call out his name softly, and he, as he got dressed and walked to the door, he opened it only to find no one outside. But that night, Revelations chapter 3, verse 20 became a reality to him. And a few weeks after that, God showed him through a dream, a new birth experience. And since that time, Mr. Perez wholeheartedly gave his life to Jesus and was miraculously transformed and set free from sin, bondage by the power of the Holy Spirit, and has been ministering worldwide ever since then. He said, folks, he just got back from Honduras and other areas here in the United States, and he's joining with us now. With that, I would like to welcome our very special guest, our brother in Christ, Pastor Perez. Mr. Perez, are you there?
Hey, Doug. I'm so glad to be with you back on the show. I was looking forward to this, so I'm glad we were able to make it happen.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I was so excited to have you come on, and I was even told Joe, I said, man, this is just great timing. So.
Yeah, it's good to have you, Mr. Perez. I've been bugging my dad to get in contact with you for a little while now to get you back on the show.
Yeah, and
hey,
Steven
Doug.
Said you.
Good to hear you again, you Doug. Amen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we've got so many questions for you, but we're going to turn the floor over to you, Mr. Perez. What do you see taking place, or where do you want to start? Let's put it that way. Where do you want to start today? Because I'm sure you've got a ton of things.
Well, as I shared with you on the phone, Doug, I have been busy since last year. I've been busy. I've had more mission trips last year. I did three mission trips last year. This year, it's already started, and I have already gone to do a mission trip. You know, it's one of those times to be alive, and it's an exciting time to be alive, and yet it is a dreadful time to be alive, both. It depends on how you look at things, and hopefully tonight I'm going to be able to bring a focus and a perspective, a fresh perspective and focus on different things that will help a lot of people out there. I've been praying about this program, been asking the Father to clear the air, to loose his angels, to go and minister to the people, to block out any interference that there may be from the enemy to try to, you know, stop whatever is going to happen from happening. I've been praying, asking the Lord for fresh revelation, for insight to touch the people's hearts. I believe that's going to be the show tonight. I believe that there's going to be many people out there that are going to be touched, not just by the words I say, but by the more importantly, by the Spirit of the Lord. And there are so many things happening right now, Doug, that and you know that I mean, I just don't even know where to start. But I'm going to start very simple. I'm going to start very simple by saying that we probably are seeing the beginnings of the Great Tribulation. And I am very, when I say that, I say it with a lot of soberness and with a lot of concern. I don't say it haughtily. I say it slowly because I know what it means. But we are basically seeing the beginnings of it. We are being ushered into it. I believe if we are not seeing it already, we are seeing the beginnings of it. We are on the threshold of it. One of the things that the Father has shown me, and I am not at liberty to release all the details, but one of the things that the Father has shown me since I was last with you was that there is going to be a revolution happening in America. And this happened last year in the month of October. I have never had this type of experience before. I was taken to what I consider to be like a library. I don't know if he was in heaven or if he was here on the earth. I wasn't told. I wasn't shown. But there was definitely a lot there in that library that the Lord wanted me to know. He wanted me to be aware of and tell the people. And I mean, there were so many books there. There were wall-to-wall covered with bookshelves and books. And there were three men there that began to instruct me. They began to teach me and share things with me that although I kind of knew that these things were happening and had happened, I didn't know the details. I was not aware of how real this thing is. And they began to show me how methodically these people, the Illuminati, this ungodly, evil, wicked people on the face of the earth, they have historically been behind everything that the evil one has done and is trying to do, especially to the children of God, to the seed of the Lord. And they began to show me maps and share information with me recorded on these strange-looking documents. As I began to listen to them, many of these things, I was astounded. And that's the only word I can put it in. I was amazed, astounded. Just like it's the same word that the Apostle John, you know, what happened to him in the island of Patmos, when the Lord showed him the beast, and he showed him the harlot riding on the beast, on the scarlet beast. And the Bible says that he was amazed, he was startled, he was just dumbfounded. And this is how I felt. I was just astounded at the brilliance and the wisdom of the plans of this and the methods of these people, how they have methodically and brilliantly brought these plans to pass. And over the centuries, not just over the last few years, over the centuries, to bring about their evil goals. The evil goals of these people is basically to usher in a very dark kingdom on this earth, the kingdom of their God, which is Lucifer, and they're doing everything in their power to usher in the kingdom of the evil one. This is what all of these things are. It's all about. This is what the New World Order is all about. This is what the you know, the Ten Kingdoms, the map of the Ten Kingdoms in the earth. That's what it's all about. The old Atlantis was divided into 10 kingdoms. I read a book, two or three years ago, very, very well written book on Atlantis, and it's called the Antediluvian World. Atlantis, the Antediluvian World. And one of the first things I realized when I read that book was how much information was contained there that really confirms what the Bible says about all these alien gods, all these ancient gods. What a lot of people do not understand is that all these ancient gods and idols that the Bible talks about, like Ashtoreth, Baal, Moloch, all these different gods that the Israelites worshipped, and because, you know, they were contaminated by all these other tribes. Because all these other people, which were, you know, the children of Satan, you know, the hybrids and totally demon-possessed, they worship these gods. These gods are what the book of Genesis, chapter 6, it talks about. When the sons of God came down and they came down to the daughters of men and they cohabited with them. And, you know, sons were born unto them, children were born unto them, and the Bible calls them giants. Calls them Nephilims. And these Nephilims, if you keep reading there in Genesis 6, it says that these were men of renown. Men of renown. Now, well, we all have studied mythology in school. And, of course, Steve Quayle is he's the expert on this thing, not me, but I'm just sharing that to bring all of these things together, because where I'm going, I need to lay the foundation. And so the Nephilims are basically what these men of renown were all about. They were men that came to earth. I mean, the angels came to earth, cohabited with the daughters of men. Sons were born unto them. These were the Nephilims. These were the giants. These were the men that the mythology talks about. These were the Hercules. These were all these Zeus and all these other gods. And when you read that book that I mentioned, Atlantis, the antediluvian world, all of these gods are mentioned. They ruled in Atlantis. They governed Atlantis, which was divided into 10 regions, which just happens to be the same plan that these evil people have for the world. They have divided the world into 10 regions. The Club of Rome did this, I believe it was in 66. I think it was 66 or 67. They began this plan. Now, this plan is not new. They had this plan for way before. They just began implementing the plan then. And and so all of these things are basically leading us into the implementation of the new world order, the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kingdom of the beast. This is what this is all about. This is the reason why they're not doing anything to fix the economy. They're not doing anything to fix the problems which are basically upon mankind. They are really surrounding us everywhere. They want chaos. One of their mottos of these people is order out of chaos, ordo ab chao. And so chaos is going to rule. Now, there is more to that chaos than people realize, okay? I'm going to share some of that also in this program. But they believe that out of this chaos that is going to ensue, it's going to lead the whole world into the arms of the beast, of the Antichrist. The Bible mentions two beasts. The first beast that came out of the sea in Revelation 13, and then the second beast. The first beast is a political beast, and the second beast is a religious beast, okay? And both will rule together. They will rule together. One of the things that many people have forgotten is that when the church, basically, all the early apostles died, and then the disciples of the apostles died, men like Irenaeus, men, all those men that were just great men of God, the early church fathers, the Bible talks about them as the early church fathers. When they passed, the apostles died, and their disciples died. Basically, the church began to be watered out, and it led the church into the arms of the apostasy, which was led, of course, by Constantine. And we all know the story, and around the year 325, the Council of Nicaea, when the church was basically ushered into acceptance. They were not going to be persecuted, or so they said. And they basically offered the church, a sanctuary that they could serve God, they could worship. But it had to be done on the parameters dictated to them by the Roman Empire, by the Holy Roman Empire. That church system later became what is called the Holy Roman Empire, which was a unity between the church and the Roman Empire. Okay, there was the Roman Emperor, and he ruled the armies, and he ruled the political scene, but the religious scene, the aspects of that religious kingdom was ruled by the Pope, and that was the rise of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, we know the story, the horrible things that were committed. The Inquisition, we all know the Book of Martyrs and all the horrific things that happened back then. So we're not going to get into that. We know how many of those people died. They died devoured by lions. They were torn asunder. They were sewn asunder. They were basically tore by the limbs by horses. They were decapitated. They were crucified. This was the fate of the followers of Jesus Christ. And this is in the history books. I'm not making any of this up. And so this was what took place back then, and it all the way through, it must have been all the way through maybe around the 1500s, somewhere around the 1500s, when the Roman Holy Empire began to disintegrate, okay? And that is how, the pilgrims came to America, and that's another story there. But this is what the kingdom of the Antichrist is going to look something like that. Okay, it's not going to be the same, but it's going to be something like that. We have seen now the new pope that has, the 112th pope, according to St. Malachi. And there may be people out there listening that do not agree with the St. Malachi prophecy. They may not believe it, and that's fine. They don't have to. I'm not a subscriber to the St. Malachi prophecy, but I do believe that it is accurate. It has been pretty accurate. And according to that prophecy, the present pope, St. Francis, is the last pope before the return of the Lord. This is the pope that is going to lead the world, okay, into the one world church. This is the pope that is going to do it. I'm not saying he is the false prophet. He could be. I'm not saying he is. But he is the last one. He is the one that's going to lead the church, and he's going to unite all Christians under one banner, under one religion. That's already been discussed. It's been talked about. So we know that is where this thing is heading. This last pope happens to be the first Jesuit pope ever. There has never been a Jesuit pope, in the Vatican. So he's the first. This pope also happens to be the first Spanish pope from South America, from Argentina. That's the first. So, excuse me. So this is some things that are happening that have never happened before. Just to bring a little refresher to the people, the Jesuits in the Catholic Church, okay, have always wanted to take over the papacy. The leader of the Jesuits has in times past been considered and called the Black Pope. Okay? The Black Pope, many have said, and it has been rumored, that he rules from behind the throne. Okay? He basically is the one that rules the Catholic Church, not the Pope, the Pope that was elected. But this other Pope, the Jesuit Pope, is called the Black Pope. Now, they have united both. They have united the Jesuit Pope and the normal Pope of the Vatican. So basically they have, for the first time, a Jesuit Pope sitting there in the Vatican. So they have achieved, the Jesuits have achieved their vision, their desire, their goal. And so now they are there, and I don't know what their agenda is right now. They're probably coming up with the plans and the agenda even as we speak. But based on the things that they have discussed in the last few weeks, they are wanting to, one of the things they want to do is unite all religions. They want to bring all the other religions back to the Catholic Church under one banner. Not only that, but their vision is very ambitious. They also want the Muslims to come back to the Catholic Church. They want all religions to really come together and worship God. And basically they're saying that it's the same God. Allah and Jesus and Buddha, and they're all the same God. So they're basically, right now, there is an outcry to unite all religions. Okay, so that is happening as we speak. The other thing that's happening is this pope is opened the arms. He has opened his arms to receive extraterrestrials. And of course, the expert on that topic is Tom Horn. And he's done a marvelous job with his associate. I can't remember his name right now, but both of them have done an excellent job in that book, Petrus Romanus and Exodus Vaticanus. And I have not read both books. I have read pieces of it, parts of it. But from what I've read and what I've heard from them, it sounds great. And so I totally agree with their perspective that this is going to lead to embracing this alien God that the book of Daniel talks about. The book of Daniel talks about the alien God, the God of forces. And this man of sin, the man of lawlessness, he's going to embrace him. He's going to basically honor the God of forces. So we're seeing all of this leading into that. On the other hand, we see the financial world right now is really being set up for the collapse of the economies in not only in the United States. The dollar, of course, it's like this article I just got on the email, the dollar is toast. And it talks about Lord Mukton and seeing China is prepping for the final collapse of America. The Lord showed me this back in the year 2009 when I just returned from a trip to Cuba. Those were the exact words he spoke to me, which were there's going to be a super devaluation of the dollar. In other words, the whole thing that I was told was this, okay? They're planning to kill the dollar, okay? The super devaluation of the dollar, they're planning to kill it. They're planning to basically do away with the dollar. Now, this was in 2009, and I began to talk about it. Since then, of course, this thing has become obvious. And so why is it still holding on? Why is the dollar is still alive? Well, they are waiting for a trigger, okay? They're waiting for a trigger for all of these things. For all of these things that I've been talking about, Doug, they're waiting for a trigger. And I'm going to talk about this trigger in a bit, okay? But okay. They're not going to do this thing. They're not going to force it down the throats of people. They're not. They're smarter than that. And when the Lord showed me this revolution that was going to come to America, okay, I didn't finish that story. As I was there, okay, and I was wondering about how cunning and how manipulative these people were, controlling everything, the world events in America, to achieve their goal. I was also shown how these evil ones, countless of times in the past, they have concocted all these plans and all these agendas, okay, to destroy, to exterminate, and to commit genocide of the righteous seed of our Father, and how they have failed every time. The Lord has foiled. He has basically destroyed their plans, and they were not able to complete it. And this is going to happen again. Okay, no matter how brilliant and how wise their plans were, the Father has always been one step ahead of them. Now, as I was watching these things that were being shown to me and listening intently to them, one of the men approached me and said to me in a loud voice, okay, this is what he said. There is going to be a revolution in America. It will usher in the new world order. As soon as I heard it, I was awakened. Okay? Now, when I prayed about this, I began to pray. I began to ask the Lord to show me what this all meant, because this was just too shocking to me. I kind of felt for a long time that something like that was going to happen, but now I had been told. Now it had been told to me, and it was shown to me that this is going to happen. And this is how they're going to bring about their new world order, their new world system. One of the things the Lord showed me was that the American people should not take the bait. They should not take the bait. They're trying to get the American people to fight. They're trying to draw them out into the open to fight. First of all, so that they can liquidate them, that they can exterminate all of those that come out into the open to fight. And they, secondly, so that they can basically establish their martial law and then clamp down and really do what they really want to do, which is come against the righteous seed of the Lord. So this is what they want to do. And this whole thing with the gun control laws and all these things, this is what this is about. This is what this is about. They're trying to provoke the American people into a fight. But one of the things that the Lord showed me was that the American people should not take the bait, that this is exactly what they wanted, but that they should be fought with the truth and with the light. And he said to me, truth and light always prevails over darkness and the lies. And so this is a conflict that this nation is entering into. And this is something that all these other things that are happening, okay? The Sandy Hook shootings and the Aurora shootings and all these other things, this is basically what they're trying to do. Now, this is just one of the things that the Lord has shown me, okay? But another thing that the Father showed me, this was in April of last year, and this just happened with the Sandy Hook, after the Sandy Hook event. At this particular vision I had, okay, as I was praying at night, I was I started to experience the presence of the Lord in my room. So as I began to pray, I kept on praying. I kept on asking the Lord, Lord, what is it? You know, talk to me, show me. He said to me, basically, he said that two jihadists, and this is, I heard it clearly. He said two jihadists are going to be apprehended in the future, and they're going to be sent back to their countries of origin. When this happens, it's going to cause an uproar in the nation. Well, this happened, Doug, on April 15, 2012. On this year, April 15, 2013, is when this whole mess with the Boston Marathon massacre started. And on that date, they apprehended these jihadists. And one of them, they apprehended him and sent him back home. He was from Saudi Arabia.
Yes, Al Harbi.
And you,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you probably know, you know, more about that than I do. But this event happened this year, 1 year after the Lord showed me that in 2012. Exactly 1 year to the day. And I believe that this thing is going to be uncovered even more. We're going to find out much more about this, because this is going to be another trigger that is going to cause an uproar, okay, in this country. Now, there is another thing that I believe is going to cause an uproar. It's going to cause a lot of unrest in the country, and this is what is happening right now with Benghazi. There is an investigation taking place even as we speak. It's becoming more and more like Watergate. It's not there yet, but it's becoming more and more like it. And this is gaining momentum. This is gaining momentum. And Michael Huckabee, the Arkansas governor, just made the bold prediction this week that he believes that this scandal is going to bring down the presidency of Barack Obama. And whether that happens or not, I don't know. I don't know, because I believe that this president is going to be the last president that this nation has ever had. But anyways, this could be a source of tremendous problem for this administration. And this is ongoing. And right now, the people are coming forth. The parents of the Navy SEALs are coming forth. The Navy SEAL Team 6 families are beginning to speak up. They're beginning to blame the government for the death of their sons. This is all happening the same week. This same week, it's all happening. And so all these different, storms are converging at the same time. I do not know what this is going to lead to, but whatever it is, I believe is going to be a fulfillment of what the Lord showed me about the revolution that is coming to America. Now, I want to refresh the people's minds, the minds of the listeners out there. If you remember, when President Barack Obama, when he was elected president, in his inauguration, the first time, he used the Bible of Abraham Lincoln. He swore on that Bible. Now, why did he choose that Bible? Okay, is becoming apparently obvious. Is becoming very obvious now. Why? Because he knew that he was going to be probably the president that was going to be involved in a similar revolution. Okay, even as Abraham Lincoln was back then. We have seen these movies coming out now, the Abraham Lincoln movie. Why are all these movies coming out? we are seeing all these movies coming out, Olympus Has Fallen, and all these other movies talking about the downing of of the government of the United States. Why are these movies coming out all at the same time? So we know for a fact that these people, that is how they communicate what they're going to do through Hollywood. They send messages by movies and messages through programs in TV. They communicate their agenda. They communicate their purpose in what they want to do and what they're going to do. So they have been broadcasting these things now for a while. And I believe that we are very close. We are very close to these things happening. I believe that this year, and I'm not going to set dates, okay, but I'm just going to give a general general timeline, very, very general, but the Lord has shown me some things. I'm not at liberty to release these things in detail, but from what the Lord has shown me, okay, in this last couple of months, from this summer, the summer of 2013, on, these things are going to begin to happen. These things are going to begin to happen, and other things, which I'm going to share later in the program. So we are being set up for a lot of stuff that we have been talking about, we have been hearing about, and many prophets have been prophesying about for a long time. We are right now. At that time, we are at the crux. We are on the threshold of many of these momentous events happening. And I hate to be the bearer of this news, but I have to share it. You know, many times people have come against me because they don't like what I am saying, or maybe they did not believe that certain things happen exactly as I mentioned that they might happen. And, this is one of those risks that men of God have to take when they take a stand to share what the Lord is speaking to them. And, this is one of the reasons why Jonah, in the book of Jonah in the Bible, he didn't want to say the things the Lord told him to do because, you know, he did not want to say, you know, Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days because, you know, this is one of those things that he knew that if those people repented, that Nineveh was not going to be destroyed. And then he was going to be, you know, looked at as a jerk, as an idiot. And right. And so, you know, the Lord had to bring him into the belly of a fish, basically. And I believe it really happened. What kind of fish it was, I don't know. But I really believe the Lord brought him into the belly of the fish, the big fish, and then there he made his commitment back to the Lord and said, Lord, I will do as you have ordained me. I will obey you. And he did it. And so, sure enough, what he feared happened, which was when he preached, the people repented, the people in Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes, all the way from the king, all the way down to the peasants, and the Lord relented, and Nineveh was not destroyed. He was spared. He was destroyed later, much later, but at that moment, he wasn't. And so this is the risk. This is the price that the messengers of the Lord bear, okay? They bear this this cross. This is the cross we bear, which is, you know, we declare what the Lord says. If enough people pray, enough people repent, the Lord may delay this thing, okay? He may not completely stop it, but he may delay it. And then the messenger looks like a fool, but it doesn't matter to me because I am willing to be a fool for Jesus. The day I was born again, I declare that I was willing to be a fool for him every day of my life, if that is what it took. So I am just sharing that, because I know there's people that are not going to receive this word. They are not going to prepare. They are not going to do what it takes to get right with the Lord. And that's fine. That's between them and God. But I'm telling you, if you're listening to me tonight, that this is not what I am. This is not something that I think. This is not something that I have read. This is what I have been told by the Lord. And so, you know, these things are imminent. And so I just urge the people tonight, okay, believe what you're hearing. I know Doug Hagman and his and his son, I always forget your name, brother. I'm sorry.
It's Joe. It's Joe.
Joe.
My son is
Joe,
yeah.
Okay. Joe and Doug have been preaching this thing from the pulpit of their radio station there, from their program, for a long time. There have been people coming to show, and they have preached the same thing. And you know what? People are not listening, many of them. There are even many pastors that are not listening, many preachers that are not listening. There's many out there that don't want to hear this thing, but I'm telling you, if you listen and you pay attention, it could very well save your soul. It could very well save your family, and it could very well determine your eternal destination. So I just want to share that these things are imminent, and we are about to see this thing in Benghazi is going to explode. This thing is going to explode. I don't know what the President Obama is going to do, if he's going to create a distraction because of it. I don't know, but this thing is gaining momentum. CBS also published the investigation, the Benghazi investigation. That has had a devastating impact on this administration. It don't matter how much they try to cover these things, they're happening. And it's coming out. I was also reading today. I haven't had a chance to confirm this, but I was reading it. I'm just going to share it. I'm just going to tell the people that I haven't had a chance to confirm it, but the President Barack Obama has served 14 state governors with warnings of arrest because they are going ahead with their national, security. 14 states. They have state defense forces that they're organizing, and the president basically is telling them to stop it. That, they're going to be arrested for a crime of treason. So this thing is beginning to brew. We have seen how already, beginning of this year, after, his reelection, how many states wanted to leave the union. And so this thing is gathering momentum. And I believe that what I was shown and what I was told about the revolution coming to America, I believe it's going to happen. The only question that we have at this point is how bad it's going to be. That's the only question we have. How bad is it going to be? And I was reading about that, in 2 Samuel. I was reading 2 Samuel earlier today, that incident with David, when David numbered. In chapter 24, 2 Samuel 24, when he asked Joab, his captain of the host, to go and number his people, and Joab didn't think that was a good idea. So if you read the whole chapter, 2 Samuel 24, Joab did it against his better judgment. He told David basically, why are you wanting to do this, O king? Why do you delight in doing this thing? You're having success, why are you doing this? And it's one of those things that, David was tempted, and he wanted his people numbered. He wanted to know how many people he had. And anyways, after he did it, when Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king, that there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. It says in verse 10, 2 Samuel 24:10, that David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now I beseech you, Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus saith the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose you one of them, that I may do it unto you. Okay? Now, this is a pretty tough word. Basically, the Lord told David, through his prophet, you know, Gad, his seer, that to choose between three things. He says, I'm going to give you the choice to choose how I'm going to punish you. But I am going to punish you. Okay? You cannot stop that. Well, this is what where I believe we are in America. I believe in America, Doug and Joe, I believe we are at a point where it cannot be stopped. America is going to be judged. Okay? It's just a matter of how harshly America is going to be judged. And so it could be, you know, one of these three things. And this is what the Lord told David. Choose one of them. Okay? He said, I am going to give you 7 years of famine. 7 years of famine shall come upon your land. Or you will flee for 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you. Or the third thing is, there shall be 3 days pestilence in your land. Now consider and see what answer I shall return to the Lord. So he basically gave him, you know, 7 years, the very, very long time of famine. Or he gave him a shorter choice, which was 3 months, where he was going to be defeated by his enemies and pursued. And the third choice was 3 days, only 3 days of pestilence. So David said unto Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. In other words, he didn't want for the Lord to turn him into the hands of his enemies. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel. And it says that there died died 7,000 people, and there died of the people from Dan Eber to Beersheba, 70,000 men. Okay, so 70,000 men died. And the angel of the Lord stretched his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. But the Lord turned from the destruction and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it's enough. Stay now your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. And it says in verse 17, and David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that struck the people, and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray you, be against me and against my father's house. And so that took care of the plague, okay? That took care of that judgment. And from that point on, you know, the Lord turned his wrath away.
I'm going to have to stop you right there just for a moment. We're up against the top of the hour break. I have to apologize for breaking your cadence and your train of thought. However, we do have to take a break at the top of the hour for about 3.5 minutes. What a fantastic foundation you've laid for the remainder of the program. This is amazing, Mr. Perez. I'm just blown away from this. No
yes,
joke.
It is.
You too.
We can fill the next 2 hours with me asking questions about what he covered in the first hour.
Exactly. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 8th day of May 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our first guest tonight is Mr. Augusto Perez. TheAppearance.com, which is Appearance Ministries. That's his home base. Ours, of course, is HomelandSecurityUS.com. Stay with us. We're going to be in about 3 minutes with some more just fascinating biblical information about current events.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't gone to one of our great sponsors, Grandland Firearms, do so. Go to GrandlandSecurityUS.com. Click on the link in the right-hand column. Grandland Firearms of British Columbia, Carl and Lori Grandland, terrific people. They've got a wonderful brick-and-mortar store up in beautiful Campbell River, British Columbia, Canada, the salmon capital of the world. If you're so inclined to drop a line in the water up there, you'll be treated by, obviously, beautiful scenery as well as good fishing. But if you get a chance, folks, visit their website, which is GrandlandFirearms.com. That's GrandlandFirearms.com. They've got a full listing on their website of what their inventory is, survivalist gear, hunting gear, a tremendous book written by Carl, a great T-shirt, and anything and everything that you can expect out of a gun shop and a survivalist store. If you can't get up there personally, visit their website and also sign their guest book. Let me hear about their show, the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's GrandlandFirearms.com.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this very special Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is special because we are joined by our guest, Augusto Perez, a man of God. His website, www.theappearance.com. Appearance Ministry is the name of the site, and he's been a guest before on our show, and we've had an interesting and very fast first hour. Mr. Perez, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight, and if I can, I would like to step back just to touch and mention or ask you about something you talked about in the first hour. You talked about the ancient gods, the god of forces, these Baal, the Nurgle. The fact that there is nothing new under the sun, we know that these rituals, these pagan and occult rituals, are still practiced today in the highest levels of government and society. You talked about this pope and talked about how this is the one world religion will be set up. The Vatican, the last pope, called for a new world order. We're seeing everything, it seems to be in place. They have the legislation in place here in America to do whatever they want. They have the World Bank set up. They have the UN set up. Things ready to move with their one world government, new world satanic order agenda. Do you see this agenda? And you said that you feel that the time is short and we will see these things happen closer than we would like.
I guess my question is, are we going to see this happen all at once, do you think? Or you said we're waiting for the trigger, and my dad says that also. There's going to be some kind of economic or World War III type trigger that will give them an opportunity, because we know how they work through crises to pass through their agendas. Do you think it would be an economic situation, a world crash? Or you think that it would be more we're talking about with a civil war type situation here in America to get America kind of out of the way? What's your thoughts on that?
Sure, Joe. Well, I think that all these events are going to happen not at the same time simultaneously, but they're going to begin to happen like dominoes, which is going to be one topples another, and one topples another, and one leads to another, and another, and another, and another. And once it begins, it's going to happen very quickly. And so it could happen by any of the things that, you know, that you mentioned, that we talked about. It could happen through an economic collapse. Now, I don't believe that that is what they want to do, because they are not going to have an answer for that if it just happens, if that happens first. They're going to have to do a lot of explaining. So I really believe that the economic collapse is not going to be the trigger. It's going to happen probably, it's going to be one of the dominoes that will fall. But it's probably going to have to be something like a war, a nuclear war, taking place, like maybe North Korea launching a nuke. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that North Korea is still pointing their missiles to us. They're still pointed to us, although he has stopped that young, Kim. He has stopped making threats and things like that, like he was a couple of weeks ago. He still, you know, he has not removed his missiles. They're still pointed at us, and at Hawaii, and at and South Korea, and all these other areas. And so this could be a trigger, okay? There have been remote viewers, Ed Dames, who is one of the best remote viewers that, you know, after Ingle Swann, he's one of the best. And he has seen that happen. He spoke about it last year. He has seen North Korea, in a moment of anger, launch a nuclear attack, a missile, at America. And this is probably one of the things that may do it, okay?
Yeah, when that happens, Ned Dames. I'm sorry to interrupt. When Ned Dames said that, and he first said that, Mr. Perez, I think this is back like maybe, 18, 17, 16 years ago. I just laughed because I thought Ed was kind of off his nut there when he was talking about North Korea, and look where we are now. So you're exactly right. Go ahead.
And, you know, I'm not a subscriber to to remote viewing or anything like that, but it just happens that many of the things that he has declared, you know, have come to pass. So I am not, I'm not upholding it. I'm not subscribing to that theory, but I'm not rejecting it either. I'm saying that the things that he has spoken have come to pass, and this seems to be about to come to pass. So that could be a trigger. The other thing is the Middle East situation is very hot right now. As I was getting ready for this program, there was a scripture that came to my heart, and it was in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, and it says, "The burden concerning Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall become a ruinous heap." Well, look at what's happening in the Middle East right now. Israel is bombing Syria. Syria just today came out and said that it is going to retaliate towards Israel, and that this means war. All bets are off. So it seems like Israel has ignited a fuse that now is going to take place. It's going to explode. So there is a prophecy about the destruction of Damascus. That could happen. when I looked up the word ruinous, you know, that word ruinous heap, in the original text, ruinous means it's fallen, it's in ruin. And heap means a pile of rubbish, ruin. So something is going to happen to Damascus where it becomes a pile of rubbish, a pile of ruins. It's going to be totally destroyed. And it could happen now. It could really happen. There is a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East. We are seeing Iran. Iran has been supplying weapons to Syria. Iran may become involved. I mean, this thing is getting hot. It's getting hotter by the day. So that is another possible trigger right there in the Middle East. Another possible trigger is a terrorist attack on this nation, which the cell, the sleeper cells are here. They are already here. They're hidden. They are, all they have to do is being, you know, activated. They have to be activated. Some of them are super soldiers. Some of them are, you know, have sub-personalities that, you know, that that they have been implanted in them. And so all that it takes is a phone call. It's a music playing or something to activate that sleeper terrorist. And there are hundreds, if not thousands of them here in this country. So the Lord showed me that also some years back. He showed me terrorist attacks on this nation. And it's on our website on the under the under the, you know, on the page of Dreams and Visions. And this is going to happen. I saw in one of the visions that the Father gave me, at least six or seven cities were destroyed. I was shown in a TV. I was watching like a something like a TV, and I saw in the TV this thing, these scenes playing out, and I saw reporters reporting, you know, detonations, nuclear explosions in cities. And they were reporting the destruction and how many dead were there. And they, the scene changed from city to city. They reported from several cities. I was shown this. So I know this is going to happen. So that could be another trigger. Any one of these things could very easily bring about the collapse of the economy and martial law. Okay? Any and probably all of it. We may see all of these things happening one after another and after another, because I mean, just to give you just one possible scenario: if North Korea attacks the United States, okay, let's say it just is able to take out just one city, okay, let's just say they are able to detonate a nuke in the West Coast. Just that, I mean, the amount of chaos that could trigger in this nation, it would be incredible. Look what happened in Boston during the marathon. Just that little, well, you know, they may not have been that little, but they were not big. They were not nuclear explosions. They were minor explosions compared to nukes. Those two explosions shut down the city, okay? It was basically, they had martial law in that city. Nobody could leave the house. Nobody could do anything. They had to stay in the homes. The military began to go to certain homes, search it out, you know. They didn't need warrants. They didn't need anything. That was basically a very small taste of what may happen in the near future if these scenarios that we're talking about do take place. And that would be very easily an implementation of martial law, maybe not in the whole country, maybe not in 100% of the country, but let's say in major cities in the country. It would shut down the airline flights. It would shut down commerce. It would shut down, you know, Wall Street. It would shut this nation down. It would literally shut it down. And so this is very, very, very possible. This is not very far-fetched at all. So any and maybe all of these things could be a trigger. In answer to your question, Joe, you know, it's not going to happen all simultaneously, but it's going to be like dominoes, one after another.
All right. And that answers, well, I should say that's pretty much what is consistent with what our studies, our research, the people who we are in contact with have told us that, you know, we've got one particular source who's saying that, and it's interesting, a lot of the words you've used are words that come from an intelligence source very close, very, very high up, I should say, that knows what's going on. For example, our globe, you know, going to be separated into 10, as you pointed out, 10, I believe you used the word kingdoms, whereas he was saying that there's a plan for 10 trade zones. And of course, the dollar, that is a really hot button issue right now, because this administration had said we're just going to kill the dollar. You pointed out this, you had this vision in 2009. It was admitted by a senior Obama official and reported by Kyle Bass in 2011. And really, you know, Mr. Perez, you know, in really what venue, what circumstances, on what planet does that even make sense, where you have a nation killing its own currency? Because it would just cause such starvation and crisis throughout the world. So everything you have said so far is consistent with the intelligence that we're receiving. Folks, this is so important. I really want you to really take this to heart and certainly take it to prayer. But Mr. Perez, you've got this thing on your website here, because we talk, and I'm going to address this a little bit here. On your latest dreams and visions, the word from the Lord of 3/12, of March 12th of this year, one sentence really, or one paragraph really got to me. You said, if you endure to the end as a faithful soldier, I will dress you with white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. I had, in my conversation with my intelligence insider, he said, look, it's our duty to fight, to endure to the next battle, and we will be bestowed blessings with each successive battle we endure. I read that and I thought, wow, it's almost as if he was reading from your website. And I just, how marvelly consistent this was, or this is. We are to do whatever we can to resist, to put up a fight, to throw a monkey wrench into the plans of those in power.
Endure and overcome. Endure.
Right. Is what you're saying?
Yes. Endure really is a biblical term, and it is in the book of Revelations. And one of the things that it talks about there is, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Endure is a word that has to do with patiently resistant, patiently continuing, not letting down your guard, not letting down and quitting. Not throwing your arms up and just say, forget it, I can't do this. The enduring means continuing to go forward. The Bible has a term that I want to share tonight, which is overcomers. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, 7 times, the Lord Jesus Christ tells the 7 churches in Asia Minor, to them who overcome, and then he goes on to mention different promises. And that word overcome is very important, because that word overcome means overcoming whatever you come in contact with, whatever obstacles are thrown into your path, whatever things you have to endure, whatever tests you have to endure and go through, whatever tribulations and things and persecutions and all kinds of things, diseases and every kind of situation, problem, obstacle that is going to be thrown into the path of God's children. The word from the Lord is to endure. The word of the Lord is to overcome, not to quit, not to give in, not to give up. And they that endure to the end, they will be saved. They that overcome, the Bible says, they shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So the key word here is to overcome, because one thing is true, and the scripture is very clear about that: the kingdom of God has no place for cowards. Okay, moral cowards. He has no. I mean, he has no place for them, and those are the people that just don't stand up for anything. They don't back anything up. They don't stand up for anything. Anything goes. They don't care about anything. All they care about is themselves. And they will never lift a finger to help another child of God, to help another person. They will never lift a finger to do anything positive. And so this is the kind of people that the Lord says, you know, they are going to be the cowards. And they're trying just to, you know, do whatever it takes to, you know, to make it, to be safe, but they don't stand for anything. So I do admire people like yourself, Doug and Joe, and many others that speak, that are encouraging the people out there, that are doing what they need to do, that are going out and doing the work of the ministry. They're feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, preaching the gospel, you know, healing the sick, delivering, warning the people. You know, they are the ones, these are the people that are the overcomers. These are the people that are really fighting in the kingdom of God. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, you fight with bullets. Fight means, like you said, resisting, just continuing to resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how do you resist the devil? How do you resist Satan? Well, you resist his advances. You resist his trying to destroy the morals and the decency of this nation and all the nations of the earth. Wherever the kingdom of darkness comes in, there is all kinds of depravity, all kinds of corruption, all kinds of ungodliness. And this is what he wants, okay? This is what he wants to implement on planet Earth. This is why we're seeing the ungodliness that we are seeing in the military. Sodomy, laws of sodomy passed, laws on bestiality passed, laws on homosexuality passed. Now, why would anyone in their right mind pass such laws to affect the military of your country, the country that is going to keep you safe? The only thing that comes to my mind is either they're totally ignorant, they're totally, incapable, they're not fit to be in the position they're in, or they're doing it on purpose. It's one of those two things. And either choice deserves court martial. Either choice can be called treason. If you're fit,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You are fit to be court martial, and it, you know, it's treason. So whether it's being done by total ignorance or their stupidity, or they're doing it on purpose. Either way, it doesn't matter to me. Okay, I'm not going to argue. It doesn't matter to me. Whichever one it is, they're guilty, and they should be removed immediately. And so, they're not qualified. So this nation is being led by the powers of darkness, and as many other nations are. And this is where what we are seeing. We are seeing this darkness take over the whole world. I was shown there was great darkness coming upon the earth. That was another experience, and I would like to share a little bit about that, because that is going to tie into the other topic I'm going to share, which we are very close to, and that is the darkness that is about to happen. I had this experience. It was back in, it must have been, what was it? Let me look real quick here. I think it was 2010. Let me make sure. In February 25th of 2010. And in this particular experience, I had three messengers from the Lord, three angels that came to talk to me about this darkness. Now, I have never had this happen to me, okay? I have had some angels visit me, but, I mean, I can count them in the fingers of one hand, okay? It doesn't happen every day. But it has happened, and this was one of those times that it did happen. And this one was so powerful and so important that the Lord sent me three angels to warn me and to warn the people, okay? Now, what he told me, you know, one of the two angels, he did the talking. The other two were there, one by his side, each one by his side. And he began to tell me that there was a great deep darkness coming upon the earth. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. We are beginning to experience it, but we haven't seen the fullness of it yet. One of the angels told me this. He said, there's coming a great deep darkness upon the earth. Three times he told me this. Three times. So I wouldn't forget it. And then he paused for a few moments, and then he said, there is a lot of activity going on in heaven at this time, right now. And again, he spoke this to me three times. He repeatedly made a point that I would not forget what he had told me. Okay? Now, after this happened, I prayed a lot about it. And I believe that this is got something to do with what is soon going to happen. Okay? This is confirmed in several scriptures in the Bible, which I'm going to share with the audience in a moment. Soon after that, I had another experience where in the middle of a night, the Lord spoke to me. And I was like watching outside a window, and I was sitting quietly looking out the window. The skies were bright, the sun was shining, everything was very, very normal, very calm. Then suddenly, without warning, everything began to get darker. The skies grew darker, the light began to disappear. At first, I thought it was a solar eclipse that was taking place. But then the darkness became pitch black. Everything got pitch black. It was total, absolute darkness. A gross darkness. I had never seen anything like it in my life. There were no lights anywhere to be seen, okay? It got so dark that I was not able to see my hands in front of me. A total terrifying darkness that could be felt. I could feel this darkness. It's not normal darkness when the lights go off, okay? This was a darkness that could be felt. You could feel its presence. And I heard the word spoken out loud in my spirit. I heard the word ubiquitous. And I woke up. I woke up shaken. Now, I didn't know what the word ubiquitous meant. I had never heard that word. I had to get up, write it down on a piece of paper, and look it up in the dictionary. And I found out it means everywhere, okay? It's like, ubiquitous means like everywhere. There's no place that it's not there, okay? Like omnipresent, everywhere. Like God is omnipresent. It's everywhere. No matter where you are, no matter where you look, it's everywhere. And I believe that, number one, this thing, this darkness that the Lord showed me has to do with the release of demonic spirits on planet Earth that is going to take place with the opening of portals or gates of the bottomless pit spoken of in the book of Revelation chapter 9. Okay? This is all going to happen. It's going to be a combination of the release of the fallen angels spoken of also in 2 Peter, the angels that are bound by the river Euphrates. I believe the Apostle Peter mentions the angels that are bound, reserved in chains of darkness unto that day of judgment. So this is scriptural. This is scriptural. And these entities are going to be released at a given time. Also, the Nephilim are going to be manifesting. The hybrids, the transgenics, transhumans are going to be manifesting. All these things are going to be manifesting together with a satellite surveillance police state system throughout the whole earth, okay? I believe this is what the darkness represents. I also believe that it's tied into something else. It's tied into something else that I believe the Bible calls the destroyer, the arrival of a celestial object which comes near the earth, more or less every 3,600 years or so. And I'm going to be reading some portions of scripture and some portions of writing from the book called the Colburn, which I have in my possession, and I think it's pretty interesting what it says about that and about many of the things that are written in the Bible. Now, the book of the Colburn is not it's not in the Bible. Okay, it's not in the Bible. It's not a book in the canon of the Scripture. I do not hold it up in the same light as the Scripture and the Bible, but it is a historical book written by the Egyptian the Egyptian culture back in the days of the Exodus. They recorded everything that happened in the day, during the Exodus from their perspective. Okay. From their point of view, and although I do not subscribe to everything that is written in the Colburn, there are particular portions of it that corroborates and confirms everything, and I mean everything that the Bible talks about when these events begin to happen, and what the Bible says happened during the Exodus. So I believe that even people out there that do not believe in the Colburn, and they don't want to hear anything that's not the Bible, I think you should open your mind a bit tonight to listen to this, because you're going to be shocked, you're going to be surprised to find out what this has to say about the same scriptures that the Bible talks about is going to happen soon. It mentions it in the book of Revelation. It mentions it in some other scriptures. And so I'm going to read, first of all, okay, from a chapter called, called the Book of the Manuscripts, chapter 4, okay, the Destroyer. And it's called Man, chapter 3, verse 6. And it says here that people will scatter in madness. You know, this is during the passing of the Destroyer, okay? This is what happened when the Destroyer was passing over the land of Egypt during the Exodus, okay? What I'm trying to say is that it happened during the Exodus. There have been about 3,600 years plus or minus from that time to today, okay? Which is the trajectory that scientists have believed is what it takes this object to make its transit, okay? All the way out into outer space and come back around the sun and then go back out again. It takes it up. It takes this object approximately 3,600 years to do this, okay? This object, called the Destroyer in the Bible, okay? Other civilizations call it different names, call it the dragon. The Chinese called it the dragon. The Jews called it the Doom Shape and the Destroyer. And different civilizations call it different names. But it takes 3,600 years for this object, okay, the Destroyer, to go around our sun and then go back out into outer space and go around the second sun, okay, or the dwarf sun that is the brother sun or the little brother sun of our sun, okay, which is out in outer space. So scientists have basically now in recent years discovered that our galaxy may be a binary system, which means it has two suns. Okay, so this planet is the only planet that does this. It's the only planet that goes around our sun and it goes back out and then orbits for 3,600 years and goes around that other sun, okay, the dwarf sun, and then comes back out here. All right. So we are very close to that object coming back, okay? I believe it is affecting us. I believe it's what is affecting everything going on, the earthquakes. It seems like every week now there's two or three earthquakes, 5, 6, 7, Richter scale. Volcanoes are popping up everywhere. Masses of land are appearing in the oceans. The land is cracking.
Mr. Prez, if I may, we saw in 2011 with Comet Elenin the hype of this neighbor Planet X. And also in 2012 with the end of the Mayan calendar, was that like the military running its urban operation drills to condition people to be not worry about it? Or in this case, they're conditioning them to think when people bring it up and say things that could happen to just disregard it because it's been predicted so many times before.
They're using that excuse to get people to not pay attention to this. But the telltale sign that this thing is real, Joe, is how many scientists that were involved in this project to try to find this object somehow have disappeared, mysteriously disappeared or died. Okay? Why would that happen? Why would they do this? Why would anyone deny this type of thing? First, they reported it many years ago. I think it was in 1982, I think it was. They said it existed. They came up with that name, Planet X. Then we never heard about it again. Okay? Then, you know, many other scientists, you know, began to inquire, began to do tests, and began to research it. And sure enough, they began to be disappearing. Or they were silenced. And so this is a topic that I believe is what made the Vatican put a gigantic telescope in Arizona. Why would they do that? What are they looking for? Did they just went through all that expense just because they wanted to look at the stars? How about the South Pole? What about the telescope on the South Pole? Why did our government put a telescope there? Because they wanted to look at the stars? I mean, come on. Anywhere else in the world, it could have been a better place. Why put it on that hostile environment? Well, I believe it's because this object is coming from the south. It is believed to be coming from beneath us, okay, from the southern, from under the galactic plane. It's coming from below the galactic plane. It's going to go up across our galactic plane, and it's going to go out again. Okay, this is one of the reasons why it cannot be seen, especially from the northern hemisphere. The second reason is because it is
Me too. We're still good. Skype's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if you can hear
us.
Yeah,
I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Yeah. What about the people in our chat room? Can you hear us?
Audio is cut. We still have Mr. Perez on.
Well,
we still are connected. Our call quality is good. There are no prompts. I do not know what could be the problem.
Yeah, all of our lights, the lights that are supposed to be on are on. The ones that are off are off. The switches are in the proper positions. We're clear for takeoff. And I think perhaps Mr. Perez might have bumped his mute button, maybe.
No. The sound went out on Blog Talk.
Oh, no. Well, it says here, I hear Doug and Joe. Just no.
Right. It dropped for a second. It all cut off for a second. And then came back. And he might slowly come back or not. He is still connected. We're good. Justin TV, the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Spell that all out.
The Hagman and Hagman Report.com, all spelled out. And that's the alternative site.
To that person in the chat room who answered the question, we did pay our bill. So Blog Talk was in the chat earlier.
Yeah.
Looking into the. There was a little choppiness going on. They came in. We didn't even ask. And I don't know if they were just fixing that or what happened.
It's interesting how this does happen. If we can attempt to – is there a wager that we can attempt to get him back? I'm not familiar with the connection. Okay.
Mr. Perez, can you hear us? If you can, we can't hear you. What I'm going to do if – I'm sorry, is – call him back.
Yeah, Mr. Perez, if you can hear us, okay, we'll send the smoke signal up from here. But if you can hear us, just go ahead and hang up, and we're going to try to get you back.
And we'll email an alternative number, or if you can hear us, the alternative number you can call is 321-252-8941.
And there you have it. While you work on that, if you don't mind, I just want to say that, you know, if, for the new people who are joining us after the 9 o'clock hour, and I want to just say welcome to those people, specifically in Lansing, Michigan, and Elkhart, Indiana, traveling west. I want to say hello to those people in Rockford, Illinois, and Cedar Rapids. Heard from you today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Also for new listeners in Norman and Edmond, Oklahoma. We also have a, just like the situation before I told you about, near Lee's Summit in Missouri, there's a diner there that has there's a diner there that plays our program, and I want to say thank you for listening, and thank you for hearing the, or for the, I apologize for the busy signal there. What I can do as well here, Joe, while we do this, is I'll send Mr. Perez an email. These things do happen from time to time. Seems like they happen a lot with us, and, you know, it's just, it's frustrating as heck, you know.
Mr. Perez, are you back on? Nope, it dropped okay. off. He was back on, and then it dropped off.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'll call back in exactly 1 minute.
That way, okay.
I'll give it a couple minutes.
All
but,
right.
Yeah,
you know, it is frustrating sometimes to go through this, and people, I get emails from people saying, you know, my goodness, you know, why don't you get these fixed and get these problems fixed? And it's kind of a good problem to have because I did address this on, in fact, you and I did address this on our website where we said that the audience is growing so much and the pull for the, you know, it's like trying to shove a whole bunch of stuff through a small tube.
Yeah.
You know,
hello?
Sometimes it just, oh, Mr. Perez, thanks. I'm not sure what exactly happened there. We lost you for a moment. But I want to thank you for your patience. This does
absolutely
happen. I certainly didn't want to get you off of your cadence. You were certainly, on a roll there. If you don't mind, if you can just go ahead and continue with where you're at, and we'll just pretend like this never happened.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I was sharing before, you know, this particular object has always been the harbinger of many horrific things when it does come by. Now, I personally do not fear it, and I'm going to share why in a few moments, okay? And the people of God, the children of the Most High, should not fear it. The ones that should fear it are the ones that are probably listening to this program and are not liking some of the things that they're hearing. And the evil people out there that are wanting to destroy this world and are making preparations for the ushering of the kingdom of the evil one. But they are the ones, see, those are the ones that should be concerned, because this object is definitely, has always been an instrument of the wrath of God. Now, for people that are not familiar with what happened during the Exodus, let me refresh your mind. During the Exodus, if you recall, God raised up Moses. Okay, Moses was the leader of the Israelites, the Jews. God spoke to him through the burning bush and told him he was going to raise him up and use him to go get his people out of Egypt. Okay, now, this was approximate time when this object was beginning to make its way around the earth. Many of the plagues that took place in Egypt, okay, the turning of the water into blood, red, it turned red, the plague of the locusts, the plague of the hail, the plague of the cattle, you know, sores on the cattle, all of these things, the darkness that took place in Egypt, the death of the firstborn, all of these things had to do with the passing of the destroyer back then. And it says so here in the book of the Colbert, okay, which is what I wanted to share. And what I was beginning to read in the chapter Man 3, verse 6, he says that the people will scatter in madness, and they will hear the trumpet and battle cry of the destroyer, and will seek refuge within dens in the earth. Now, this is exactly what the book of Revelation talks about in chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. So this right there confirms that, just like the book of Revelation mentions, that this is exactly what these people were going to do. You know, all these mighty men, it says in verse, in chapter 6, verse 15 and 16 and 17 says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the generals, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. It's exactly what we just read here, okay? That the Egyptians wrote in the annals of this history book that this is exactly what they did. And he said, and they said to the mountains or rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Okay? So this is exactly what Revelation 6, 15 through 17 say. Okay? That men were going to be hiding in caves and in dens. Well, this is what these people are doing. We all know that. They have dug deep underground bunkers, and they are, you know, they have stocked it with food for several years, water, medicine, I mean, everything you can think of, every luxury you can think of, all kinds of things that, you know, that we cannot even afford. They have it in there. They have it on the ground, okay, through many underground bases. There are over 300 underground bases in this country alone. There are many underground bases and underground bunkers in other parts of the world. I was just in Ecuador last December, and I was being told by one of the people there that there was this Arab, okay, from Saudi Arabia. He bought a big piece of property there in Ecuador, and he was building an underground bunker right there in Ecuador. So what do these people know that a lot of people don't, okay? What do they know? What do they think is coming? Okay, and so this is what I'm talking about. They're all looking for something. They're all looking for an object. And the powers that be, these entities, this man, they know about this, okay? They know this object is coming. Of course, they're not going to tell anyone. They're not going to let the people know. The news broadcasters are not going to tell the people, because let's be honest, would you tell them if you were in charge? No, you wouldn't, probably, because it would cause chaos. It would cause total collapse of the economy. It would cause the people to go crazy, and that would be the end of society as we know it. So, you know, they're not telling. And so what they're doing is preparing quietly, getting all their, you know, their things in order, getting their bases out of the coasts, getting them inland, and, you know, preparing, you know, buying food, buying MREs. How many millions of MREs have FEMA bought and Homeland Security bought? How many rounds of ammunition have they bought? Okay? I mean, it's in the billions now. It's in the billions. And food, and they know what is about to happen. Okay? They
seed
know.
Seed bunkers, it. Yeah. Yep.
You know,
they've been preparing at breakneck speed, at the same time labeling the citizens who prepare as some kind of extremists or Looney Tunes, but that's beside the point. I mean, you're right. They have a vault that is in, I think, the South Pole of the seed vault that's closed up. They're finished with it. They're sealed it.
This whole thing
okay.
Sounds like a very bad Twilight Zone, but episode of Twilight Zone. But you're right, Mr. Perez, you know, logically, would you tell the people if this was imminent or coming to pass? I mean, what would... Wow, okay.
Okay,
go ahead.
So, basically, this is what I believe they're doing, okay? I do not believe like most people, okay? And again, everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I do not believe that they are planning, or they're buying all these ammunitions, and they're buying all these bullets, and they're doing all these things just to do something by force. I do not believe that is the point. That is what they're doing, what they're trying to do, or what they're preparing for. What I believe they're preparing for is the collapse of the system, the collapse of governments. The reason I believe that is because of what the Lord has shown me, and because of what he says in the Colbrin. One of the things it says here in the Colbrin is that when the destroyer came by, okay, the kingdom of Egypt collapsed, okay? Everything just was destroyed. Everything went haywire. It talks about the prisoners, you know, being out in the streets. It talks about all the records being wiped out. There were no records anymore. It talks about chaos. It talks about, chaos in the streets, chaos everywhere. Okay, this is what these people know is going to happen. That is what I believe, and they're preparing with ammo, with bullets. They're preparing with food. They're preparing with underground bunkers to also protect themselves, because they know people are going to come after them. Okay, they know people are going to go wanting in those bunkers and wanting to take those things, and I believe that they're trying to preserve, if you will, keep a semblance of transition, okay, a transition of government, a continuance of government, I think is the word that it's used, a continuance when these things happen. But I believe that it's not going to, I don't believe it's going to work. I believe that their best intentions and their best plans are going to fail. And the reason is because they have no idea what they're up against. They really have no idea what they're up against. And let me just share a few things from here, okay, from the book of the Colbrin, that is going to just shock so many people. It's going to overwhelm a lot of people listening to this, okay? First of all, in the book of Man, chapter 5, verse 1, he says that the doom ship, it's called the doom ship, the destroyer also, in Egypt, it says that it was seen in all the lands thereabouts. Okay? It said its color was bright and fiery, its appearance changing and unstable. It twisted about itself like a coil. Hello? Spiral, anyone? How many spirals have there been taking place since Barack Obama was elected president? Starting in Norway. The Norway spiral, and after that, several spirals have appeared. Okay, so this is one of the signs of this object. Okay, and it talks about, it says, it was not a great comet or a loosened star, being more like a fiery body of flame. Now, I have seen this. I have been shown this object. Okay, in our website is there. It's one of the last ones I had. It's called it says update. Wormwood appears with two other objects. I had this last year in December. I saw this fiery red object like a spiral, and it's on our website. Okay, I know this thing is getting close. Now I can't tell you when it's going to be seen with the naked eye. I don't know. The Lord hasn't shown me. But it's getting very close now, and it is affecting the Earth, and it's affecting other planets. Other planets like, for example, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter. Scientists have reported that it's affecting their orbits. It's affecting the planets. The planets are getting hotter. The temperatures in the planet it's affecting them. It's affecting many, many things. It's affecting the orbit of the moon. I don't know how many people out there have looked at the moon lately, but the moon is not the same. The moon doesn't appear the same. When you see the phases of the moon, the first quarter, and the crescent moon, you see the shadow, okay, from the Earth, which is the Earth, the shadow of the Earth on the moon, it goes from left to right and right to left. Well, you look at the moon now, you will notice when you look at the moon that sometimes the quarter moon or the shadow is going to go from the bottom up. not from left to right, and from the top down. Sometimes it goes from the, okay, like if we use a clock, it goes from 5 o'clock to say 11 o'clock, and so forth. It doesn't. It's not acting normal. It's not behaving normal. In the book of Enoch, which is another extra biblical book, okay, it's not in the canon of the Bible, it mentions that the moon will lose its orbit. It will lose its way. Many planets will lose its way.
It mentions the sun getting brighter. It mentions
Yes, it does.
A lot of things we are seeing today. And I've read the book of Enoch. I think it's a fantastic it gives insight to and expands on a lot of what isn't in the Bible. But with that, Mr. Perez, we're up against the top of the hour break.
This is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating, Joe.
We're going to make this a quick break, and we're going to come right back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this 8th of May, Wednesday, with our very special guest, Augusto Perez. Go to his website. That is the Appearance Ministries.
Theappearance.com. Yeah, wow. A lot of great information there. Theappearance.com.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell. A lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this special Wednesday broadcast, Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my son in studio, Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. And I'm just very humbled to have with us, both John and I are humbled to have with us Mr. Augusto Perez. We consider him a brother in Christ and a man of immense integrity, character, and just a tremendous man. Of course, his website, ladies and gentlemen, bookmark his website. It's theappearance.com, theappearance.com. It's linked off of our website, homelandsecurityus.com. That's our home base. Let's get right back to Mr. Perez. Let's not take any more of his valuable time. Mr. Perez, go ahead and continue.
Well, thank you, Doug and Joe. Once again, I'm so glad that that you allowed me to have this opportunity to share some of these things. I'm really very, very overjoyed that we are able to do this tonight. These things that I'm sharing, you know, I'm trying to squeeze all this stuff into the time. It takes so much longer to be able to build a foundation, but I'm going to do as best as I can to share with the people tonight, because time is getting short, and I don't know how many more of these programs we'll be able to conduct in the near future. So I want to really be able to give as much as I can to wake up the people and let them understand what is about to take place, okay? Now, going back to this book of the Colbrin, the book of manuscripts, and if people want to read this, they can get this in the library, I mean in the bookstore. They can go to Amazon or any other bookstore and they can get it. They may have to order it because this is a rare book. It's not something you find there in the bookshelves, but I believe you can order it if you want to read it yourself. But I'm going to be sharing some things with you tonight, and I believe this bears record that, you know, when the destroyer came by during the Exodus, everything that is written here, okay, in the pages of this book, it talks about what they saw. Remember, this is not about doctrine. This is not about theology. They're recording what they saw, what they experienced during this time, okay? And this is what's going to happen when this object comes again, because it says so also in the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelation, everything that is written here in the Colbrin is confirmed there, and I'm going to give you chapter and verse for it, okay? So you can go ahead and look it up. But here in the book of the Colbrin, it says in Man chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "The earth was troubled and shook. The hills and the mountains moved and rocked." And then it talks about the dark smoke-filled heavens bowed over the earth. "And a great howl came to the ears of the living men." Okay? Now, how many people out there have been hearing those sounds in different parts of the world? It started a couple years ago. It started in 2011, it continued last year, and it continues this year. Those howling sounds, those strange sounds that people are hearing, okay? This is exactly what this says here in the book of the Colbert. It sounded like that. It sounded like, you know, like the heavens were just emitting these strange sounds, okay? The strange sounds, and then it talks about hailstones. It talks about awful hail of hot stones and coals of fire, okay? Meteorites. Okay, this is what we today called meteorites. Back in those days, they said it was coals of fire. Well, that's what a meteorite is described as, is hot stones, okay? Hot, large stones or small stones. And it says that the doom shape thundered sharply in the heavens and shot out bright lightnings, okay? One of the things that this object does is emit a tremendous amount of lightnings. Okay, I believe, I'm no scientist, I'm not a physicist or astronomer, but I believe this is the interaction between this object and the sun and the earth. You know, there is electrical discharges that are going to take place when these celestial bodies begin to come near one another. And so I believe this is part of that. It talks about here, it says, it sounded like the voice of 10,000 trumpets that was heard over the wilderness, and before its burning breath, the flames parted. It talks about how it caused plagues, it caused hunger, and other evils. Well, has anybody been hearing the news of what's going on with the H7N9 plague that is it's developing into a plague. It's not yet been described as a plague, but it's really beginning to make great strides in China. And many people, many scientists are beginning to say that this thing could develop into a tremendous plague, and because it is beginning to be transmitted from human to human. It no longer is just transmitted from animal to animal, but is beginning to be transmitted from human to human. So this thing is developing, okay? It's still developing, but it is happening. The book of Revelation, in chapter 6, verse 5 and 8, it talks about, you know, of course, the black horseman and the pale horse of the apocalypse. It talks about plagues, and it talks about hunger, okay? So those things, I believe, is going to be caused. The same thing that caused these events in the Book of the Culprit back in the days of Moses during the Exodus, I believe this is going to be the same thing that is going to cause the Revelation 6 events, okay? It talks about the mountains being moved. It talks about the mountains melting. It talks about the sky itself roared like 10,000 lions in agony. Bright arrows of blood sped back and forth across its face. Okay, well, this is exactly what it talks about in Revelation chapter 6. It says that that the heavens parted as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Okay. Then he goes on to say that the earth swelled up like bread upon the hearth. Okay. It says that it was described in all records. It says that that when it appears in the heavens above, the earth split upon from the heat. It split from the heat like a nut roasted before the fire. Well, basically what that is saying is the earth is going to open up. There's going to be cracks that are going to appear upon the earth. Well, this is exactly what is beginning to happen in many parts of the world. I have them listed in our website under the End Time News. You can go there. You're going to see where the sinkholes are appearing. Not one or two, but now is in the dozens and dozens and dozens are appearing everywhere. The earth is beginning to open up and split in different parts of the world. This is beginning to happen everywhere, okay? Just like it says here in the Book of the Culprit, okay? It goes on to say that the doom shape or the destroyer is like a circling ball of flame which scatters small fiery offspring in its train. It covers about a fifth part of the sky. In other words, when this thing appears, it's going to be like a comet, okay? It's a comet-like object, but it's not a comet. It looks like a comet, and it may appear like a comet. And it's going to take up about a fifth of the sky. And it's going to appear with like writhing snake-like fingers upon the earth, okay? So it goes on to talk about all that. It talks about the sounds that are being heard. He talks about the people being ignorant. In Man chapter 6, verse 2, he talks about that the people were ignorant. And they, even the temple seers, they were not informed. Okay? This, I would like to compare to today's prophets. Today, like the men of God today, the so-called preachers, the so-called pastors. Even the so-called people out there, your leaders, they have no idea about this. They have no understanding about this. They're ignorant. And therefore, they don't know what's going on. They want to blame it on this. They want to blame it on global warming. They want to blame it on this other thing. But it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the effects of the incoming object. Called the destroyer in the Bible. The Bible calls it the destroyer. And so does the Book of the Culprit. It says in Man chapter 6, verse 3, these were days of ominous calm when the people waited, for they knew not what. Doesn't that sound like today? People are waiting for something to happen. They don't know what it is, but they're waiting.
Very
They're
much,
waiting
yeah.
for something.
Yep.
Everybody knows they said something is wrong, something is off, and they're waiting for it to happen, and it, you know, this is what he's talking about. It says, it continues to say, the presence of an unseen doom was felt. The hearts of men were stricken. Laughter was heard no more. Grief and wailing sounded throughout the land. Even the voices of children were stilled. They did not play together, but stood silent. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, the days of stillness were followed by a time when the noise of trumpeting and shrilling was heard in the heavens. The people became as frightened beasts without a herdsman, as asses when the lions prowl without their fold. Now, I don't know how many people out there, they read the Bible and the book of Hebrews. There's a scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter, I think it is in chapter 12. And if you read there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, you're going to read something very interesting that I had never noticed until I started understanding this, you know, the destroyer, and I started reading the book of the Colburn. There's a portion there that talks about this very thing. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, okay, verse 18, it says, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet, there is the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they had that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as an animal touched the mountain, each shall be stoned or thrust through by a spear. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21. This sight was so terrifying that even Moses was shaken and quaking. Okay? But it says here in verse 22, but you, okay, speaking to the redeemed, to the elect, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice, listen to this, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we, the elect, the children of God, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is consuming fire. Okay, I believe with all my heart that what the writer of the book of Hebrews is writing about here, that the children of Israel and Moses experienced there at that time, was the passing of the destroyer. Because they, remember, they escaped Egypt, but they were, you know, going on their way to Mount Sinai. And so during all this trek, during all their travel there, this thing, this event was ensuing. Okay? Because it doesn't happen in one day. It takes a while. So we see this thing confirmed. We see there's so many things here. Right here in the book of man, in the chapter of man, chapter 6, verse 11, it says, dust and smoke clouds darkened the sky and colored the waters upon which they fell with a bloody hue. There you go. It turns the water reddish, like blood. It says, plague was throughout the land. Now, this is confirmed in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 8, and through verse 10, okay, about the water turning into blood. The water was vile, and men's stomachs shrank from drinking. The water was contaminated. Okay? This is why in the book of Revelation, it talks about that when this thing, when this object comes, and all this dust and all this material and all this debris falls upon the waters and the rivers and the sea, it's going to kill one-third of the birds, one-third of the animals, and one-third of mankind, because the waters are going to be contaminated. Now, this was shown to me in another vision. If you go to our website, you're going to see that when I the vision of the spiral. If you go to the vision of the spiral, you're going to see that is basically what the Lord showed me. In that vision of the spiral, I saw this thing. I saw the spiral, and what I saw, what I was told when I was seeing this was that it was contaminating the everything where it was falling. It was like a radioactive contamination. I'm not sure if that is what it's going to be, but that is what I felt it was, that it was just a spreading radioactive contamination. It was making the waters bitter. It was contaminating the waters. And it's going to happen. Whenever this object comes, it turns the water bitter, and it will contaminate the waters. And it says also here the same thing in the Colbert. It talks about in chapter 6, verse 12, in the manuscript, the book of manuscripts, it talks about the dust, it says, tore wounds in the skin of man and beast. Okay? In other words, when this material, this dust, falls from the sky upon the earth, is going to fall upon the skin of animals, the skin of people, and it's going to produce sores. It's going to open wounds in the skin. This is exactly what the Bible talks about during the Exodus. That was one of the plagues. Open sores in the animals, open sores in the cattle, open sores in the people. This is exactly what he talks about also in the book of Revelation, chapter I think it's chapter 6, verse 8. And also there's other scriptures in the book of Revelation during the trumpet judgments and during the bowl judgments, the vile judgments. It talks about sores coming upon people's skin, okay? Sores appearing on the people. This is, again, a product of this passage, of the passage of the destroyer. All this dust and all this material falling from the sky upon the people. It says here in that same chapter 6, verse 12, the wild beasts were afflicted with torments under the lashing sand and the ashes. They came out of their lairs in the wastelands and the cave places, and they stalked the abodes of men. What does the book of Revelation say? One of the horsemen of the apocalypse, remember? It says the wild beasts, okay? It says the wild beasts are going to turn on mankind. Well, this is exactly what the book of the Colbert says, that the wild beasts are going to turn, or that they turn on mankind back then. They came out of their caves, they came out of their places, and they began to attack people. In another chapter there, it talks about the fish, okay, in chapter 6, verse 14, in that Colbert, in the book of manuscripts, says, the fish of the river died in the polluted waters. The worms, the insects, the reptiles sprang up from the earth in huge numbers. Great gusts of wind brought swarms of locusts which covered the sky. Okay, again, that is one of the plagues during the Exodus, the plague of the locusts. Most people listening to this remember there is mentioned a plague of locusts, okay? Again, this is confirming exactly what the book of Exodus tells us happened during the Exodus. And this is being told from the side of the Egyptians, okay? This is being told from their point of view. And it confirms everything that is written there in the Bible. Now, in that same chapter, it goes on to say, and this is very interesting what he says here. He says, as the destroyer flung itself across the heavens, it blew great gusts of cinders across the face of the land. Okay? Remember that scripture in the Bible where it says that large hail mingled with fire. Okay? I believe that is the first trumpet. Hail mingled with fire. It fell on the earth, okay? And one-third of the earth was burnt, okay? I believe this is what this is referring to here in the book of the Colburn. It talks about also the gloom of a long night spread a dark mantle of blackness, which extinguished, listen to this, every ray of light. No one knew when it was day and when it was night, for the sun cast no shadow. The darkness, it says, was not the clean blackness of night, but a thick darkness in which the breath of man was stopped in their throats. Men gasped in a hot cloud of vapor, which enveloped all the land and snuffed out all lamps and fires. Okay, now, this is incredible what I just spoke here, because this is exactly what the Lord showed me, and it is recorded here in the book of the Colburn. Okay, he talks about a darkness, Doug and Joe, that is so powerful. It's not normal. It's not normal darkness. He says it says so here, that the darkness was not the clean blackness or the clean darkness of a night, but it was a thick darkness in which the breath of men was stopped in their throats. It's a darkness that could be felt. If you read the book of Exodus in chapter 10, verse 21 to 23, he talks about this darkness. And he says it is a darkness that could be felt. It was not normal darkness, but it was a darkness that could be felt. Again, the same thing that Colburn is talking about. And it's the same thing that the Father showed me. A darkness that I could feel. A great darkness. Now, this darkness is associated with the passing of the destroyer. I don't understand what causes this darkness, okay? I don't understand it all. But I believe it has something to do with this object. Whether it is, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't explain because I don't know. But I know it's caused by this object. Whenever it's passed, it causes this blackness. It causes this gross darkness to come upon the earth. And so, you know, this is spoken of in the Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 23. I mean, it's all over the scriptures. He talks about whirlpools, okay? In the Colburn chapter 6, verse 15, he talks about whirlpools, okay? In the sea, he talks about ships that were sucked away from the moorings and destroyed in great whirlpools, okay? Now, this has been happening. These whirlpools have begun to take place on the planet in the last couple of years, okay? It continues. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It talks about the whole planet being filled with an uproar like a thunder from the destroyer, sounds coming from the earth, sounds coming from the heavens. It talks about chaos. It talks about all these things. There is a chapter here, it refers to Moses. I'm going to read that so that people, you know, they can know that this book of the Colburn, it talks exactly the same thing that the Bible talks about, but they are looking at it from their different point of view, from a different angle. It says, the slaves, okay, in chapter 6, verse 24, it says, the slaves were spared by the destroyer, okay? The slaves spared by the destroyers left the accursed land forthwith. Their multitude moved in the gloom of a half dawn under a mantle of fine swirling gray ash, leaving the burned fields and shattered cities behind them. Many Egyptians attached themselves to the host. Remember the chapter about the Exodus in the Bible? He talks about some of the Egyptians attached themselves to the to the Jews and to the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt. And they, you know, afterwards they rebelled against Moses, but he mentions that. It says here in the Colburn, for one who was great, it says, one who was great led them forth, a prince of the inner courtyard. Well, that's referring to Moses. See, the Colbrin doesn't call him Moses. He calls him a great leader. Okay, was leading them. A great prince. A priest prince of the inner courtyard. Of course, we know, if you read the Bible, you know that Moses was trained in the court of Pharaoh. He was trained in the court of Pharaoh. He was being trained to become Pharaoh. Okay,
right.
And of course,
right.
You know the story. He left after he killed an Egyptian, and he went into exile for 40 years. So this Colbrin basically confirms everything that the Bible says. Everything. It doesn't contradict the Bible in any way. In no way. It's completely confirms it. And
Ms. Press, can I ask you this? There are a lot of people that have problems with the extra biblical text.
Sure.
And I mentioned I've read the book Enoch. I have not found anything that contradicts anything in the Bible. Actually, it to me further explained a lot. And we're working with these extra books, and I tell people this. I would say this to anybody. You know, the Bible is the Bible. It is what
right.
it is. The ultimate authority, the ultimate person to seek for truth is the Lord through prayer and your relationship with him. These books, whether it be the book of Enoch or whatever book it is, do you look at these as a historical perspective, or does it differ by the book? Because
yes,
a lot
I look
of
at
people
it
have
as
problems.
A historical perspective. I do not... you know, I do not get into the theological aspects of it, of course. It's like everything. One of the things that the Lord taught me when he brought me out of the system, you know, of the church, and he trained me for several years here where I live now, and he had to basically, you know, deprogram my hard drive, you know, from all of the leaven of the I had been contaminated with, and he had to download fresh new revelation, new manna, new Rema. And one of the things she showed me is, I'm going to lead you by my spirit. And everything that is not truth, okay, I'm going to show it to you. Everything that contradicts the Bible is not of me. Everything that confirms the Bible, even though it may add some things that are not there, but it confirms it in every way. And you feel the confirmation in your spirit, that is of me. And
okay.
The Bible, everything in the Bible, is absolutely true. It is 100% truth, everything that's in the Bible. But not everything that is truth has been included in the canon of the Bible. There are many books, like the Book of Enoch, for example. The Book of Enoch is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned twice. It's mentioned in the Book of Jude, and it's mentioned in the Book of 2 Peter. In the Book of Jude, it mentions it verbatim, word for word. He quotes from the Book of Enoch. It also talks about the Bible talks twice about the Book of Jasher. Yet we don't have the Book of Jasher in the Bible. Okay, so there are many things that, for some reason, the early church fathers had access to, and we don't have access to. So my recommendation to the people is, you know, extra biblical books are basically that, extra biblical books. If you read them and it confirms what it says in the scripture, you know, then take it. Spit out the bones and eat the meat. I don't recommend it for newly born babies in Christ. I do not recommend it for the weak in the faith. I do not recommend it for those that believe that it may harm them. I don't recommend it. But if you are a mature, seasoned person in the Lord, you know your scriptures well, you have a strong foundation, and you want more, you want to confirm some of these things, this is what I'm talking about here. Okay, this will confirm it. Because this object that is coming, you know, you're not going to find, if you don't have access to some of this material, many of these scriptures that I just shared with you in the Bible, they're not going to make any sense. And this is what is happening right now. There's many preachers out there, and they are preaching about the Book of Revelation as if it were, you know, a super spiritual book. They are spiritualizing everything. Everything in the Book of Revelation is being spiritualized. In other words, it's not going to happen like it says there. and the hell is spiritualized, and all these things are spiritualized, and it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess out there. So the Lord has led me, okay, by His Spirit, to many of these truths. And the people that are listening to this program tonight, if you have the Spirit of the Lord and you're hearing these things, you know that this is the truth, because I've been telling you with Scripture, I've been proving it with the Bible, and I've been sharing it with facts that are happening right now. So you're getting it from Scripture in the Bible, you're getting it from an extra-biblical source, the Book of the Colburn, and you're getting it from things that are happening right now. Now, another thing that it says here, Joe, is that when this object was coming by, and this is going to tie into my just recent trip to Honduras, okay, the earth began to open, and it began to swallow people, okay? It began to swallow people. People began to fall into the cracks that were opening in the earth, and fire began to come out from under the earth, okay? This is what it talks about here in the Colburn. Now, when I was just in Honduras, okay, I went to this school, which, by the way, was a tremendous victory, tremendous blessing for the Lord, a public school that I was allowed to visit and minister to the people there, the young people. I was allowed to talk about Jesus Christ. I was allowed to give an altar call. It was wonderful. I had another opportunity also to talk to the parents of the children, over 200 of them. I prayed for many of them. Anyways, when I was there in the school, I was going to share some scriptures with them about, you know, from the Bible, but the Spirit of the Lord placed in my heart that instead I should share my testimony of how the Lord saved me. And so I did. I shared how the Lord had called me, how he spoke to me in the middle of the night, and the experiences that He gave me, how I was saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And anyway, I shared with them the whole story. After I finished, I felt that there was one of the young people there, I felt that had a dream or a vision from God that they needed to share. And so I just asked him, I said, is there anyone here that has received something from the Lord that, you know, you and you want to share it? Raise your hand. And one girl in the back raised her hand, and I asked her to come forward. So she came to the front, and I asked her to share. I asked her to share what she had seen, what she had received, and her experience. Well, the minute she began to open her mouth, that whole place became quiet, like you could hear a pin drop. So quiet that you could hear a pin drop. And as she began to share what, you know, her experience, she began to share how she had seen Jesus. Jesus had appeared to her. She told the young people there, she said, I was a devil. I was totally diabolical. But I came to Jesus Christ. I gave Him my life. He said, and then she went on to say why. She said, He appeared to me. He appeared to me, and what I saw, she said, was like the end. Was like the end. Everything was being destroyed. She said there were earthquakes. You know, we were near San Pedro Sula, which is the capital there in Honduras, or at least the main commercial capital. Although Tegucigalpa is the legal capital, San Pedro Sula is the real capital. That's where all the money is and all the industries. And she said that in San Pedro Sula was being shaken. There was earthquakes taking place. Now, when I was there, Doug and Joe, during this last trip, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I experienced an earthquake. I was there in La Lima, and I was sitting there having lunch with the pastors, and an earthquake took place, a 5.5 earthquake. And I believe this was a symbolic, this was prophetic from the Lord to me and to them, because I was sharing with them some of these same things I'm sharing with you tonight, okay? And I believe this was to let them know and let me know that the Lord was confirming this thing. And anyways, as this young girl began to share, she said that she saw Jesus, and as San Pedro Sula was being destroyed, earthquakes were happening, the earth was opening up, there were cracks appearing on the earth. She said that that she saw Jesus and he was crying. She saw tears coming down his cheeks. And she asked him, "Why are you crying, Jesus? Why are you crying?" And he looked at her and said, "Because I cannot stop it. I cannot do anything about it." And the people started to fall down the cracks. They started to fall through the cracks that were appearing on the ground, okay? Fire began to come from under the ground, okay? Flames of fire began to come from under. The people began to fall. And she said that as she was watching this, chariots of fire began to appear, and they began to land in different places. And the people, she called them the elect, okay? The people of God, the elect, began to get on these chariots of fire. They began to board the chariots of fire. And as they got into the chariots of fire, they were changed. She said that they became like angels. She said that they became bigger, taller, more beautiful, more powerful. They became brilliant, full of light. And she said that she called upon Jesus and said, "Jesus, please save me. I don't want to die here. Save me." And that's when she gave her heart to the Lord. And she said that many people were trying to get on those chariots of fire, but they were not able to. They would fall through the cracks, through those cracks that kept opening up everywhere with flames coming down from under the earth. And you know, that was the end of the testimony. She woke up. And I gave an altar call after that, after she finished. And over 20 young people came to the altar and gave their lives to Jesus Christ that day. And I have, I have the photos there on our website on our recent trip, missionary trip to Honduras. And the Lord did many, many wonderful things there. But
praise God.
I just wanted to share that tonight with you and the audience, because this is exactly what I read here in the Colburn. It's there. And this girl doesn't know anything about the Colburn. She doesn't even know that it exists. And she described exactly the effects of this object when it comes, what it's going to do, okay? It causes this exact same things that she saw, because it's recorded here from when it passed the last time during the Exodus. And I mean, it's in the Bible. Does not the Bible say that the earth also opened up and swallowed a whole bunch of people that rebelled against Moses? It's right there. It's right there in the
That's
Bible.
True. Yeah, yep.
So, you know, these things that I'm sharing with you tonight, I'm sharing with you because I believe that all of this is tied together. Going back to what I shared in the first couple of hours, this is all tied together. Doug and Joe, it's all tied together. This is the reason why these people are doing what they're doing. This is what they're preparing for, okay, to implement their new world order. They believe, okay, in their deluded minds, that when all this mess happens and it's over, that is when they're going to, to implement their new world order. For example, the Georgia Guidestones, what does it say there? To maintain the population of the earth at 500 million.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't say to destroy everybody else and until there's only 500 million. It says to maintain. They are expecting, these people are expecting massive deaths on planet Earth. Okay? They got the seed vault over there near the Arctic. Why do they have the seed vault? Why in the name of heaven would they have such a structure over there by the, near the North Pole, in one of those areas, a seed vault containing all the seeds that you could possibly imagine? And by the way, that seed vault was sealed. It was shut down. It was sealed. I think it was in 2011. At the end of 2011, So what are they preparing for? What are they? What do they know that they're not sharing? What do they need that seed vault for? You see, so we have all these loose ends that nobody seems to tie up. And it is all pointing to the same thing. The arrival of some trigger, something that is going to be the end of civilization as we know it. It's not going to be the end of the world. Okay, it's not the end of the world. It's the end of civilization as we know it, where chaos will reign for a season. There will be massive plagues, massive upheavals, massive civil disorder. Okay, people will go crazy. And I believe this is what the nations of the earth are preparing for. They are preparing for massive upheaval, massive chaos. This is why I believe you're seeing all these bullets being, the ammo being purchased. I believe you're seeing the MREs being bought. I believe you're seeing the bunkers being built. I believe you're seeing all these limitations and the laws being passed to control the populations of the earth. Because when these things happen, they're going to need to keep the, if you will, the government, okay, the continuance of government, okay, some semblance of normalcy, normality. But it's going to be impossible. It's not going to be possible. If what I see and what the Lord has shown me and what I have read in the scriptures is true, it's not going to happen. And
wow.
So, you know, this is what we're expecting, but to the people that belong to Jesus, okay, and here is the good part. To the people that belong to him, the Lord has also shown me, Doug and Joe, that he will take care of those that are his. Because just like he took care of his people in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, it says right here in the Colburn, and he says so in the Bible, none of his people were hurt. Not one of them perished, okay? But in order for that to happen, and this is one of the last things I'm going to share tonight, okay? Remember what the Lord told Moses. They had to do some things. He asked them to do something, okay? Remember he spoke about the destroyer was going to pass. It's in the Bible. He called it the destroyer. He said, get inside your house, lock the door, don't come out. Take the lamb inside the house. The lamb represents Jesus Christ. Take the lamb inside the house. The lamb must be without spot or wrinkle. Remember, it had to be perfect. For Jesus was the perfect lamb. So that is symbolic of Jesus. Okay. So we have to take Jesus inside our home. Inside our house, inside our physical house, but also inside our physical body. The house in the Bible, when it talks about the house, okay, it talks about our physical body, okay? So you have to take Jesus Christ inside your heart, inside your body, inside your life. You have to take him. You have to accept him. You have to make him your Lord and Savior, okay? So that's number one. Number two, the Lord told Moses that they had to kill the lamb. Jesus, of course, was already killed. He was sacrificed on the cross. He said you have to take the blood from the sacrificed lamb and apply it to the doorpost and the dentils of your house, okay, as a symbol. And when the destroyer comes by, okay, when the angel of death comes by, he will not enter your house. Well, the same thing we do. We do the same exact thing. We accept Jesus Christ into our lives, okay? If you're listening to me and you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you need to accept him. You need to give him your life. You need to make him your Lord and Savior. Okay, that is what it means to take the lamb inside your house. Then you have to take the blood that he shed, okay, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Jews took the blood of the lamb and they applied it outside the house to the doorposts and the dentils. Well, we don't apply it to the doorposts and the dentils. We apply it to our hearts. We apply it to our minds. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our family. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our children. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our property. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to everything that belongs to us, okay? Starting with us, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? And the Lord told Moses that if you do this, okay, you will be preserved. You will suffer no damage. You will not be hurt. And I believe with all of my heart that the same is going to apply today to those that belong to him, to Jesus Christ, to the Lord. If you accept him, you bring Jesus into your house, you bring the Lamb into your house, and you apply the blood of the Lamb unto your life, unto your heart, unto your loved ones, okay? You lose the blood of Jesus on your children. You lose the blood of Jesus on your loved ones. You lose the blood of Jesus on the home, on your business, on your car, and everything that belongs to you. You apply the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? Many of these horrific things that are going to happen, they will not touch you. They will not come near you. And even if you live in a dangerous area, I believe the Lord will send his angel to take you out of there if you're still there. If you move out, then praise God. If he tells you to get out of that specific area where you are, he's shown you that area is not safe, then you do that. You obey him. But I believe the Lord will protect those that are his. And I believe that this message is so important, Joe and Doug, that I was so looking forward to sharing this, because this thing is imminent. This thing is about to happen. I'm not setting dates, but I'm telling you, this thing is about to happen. And so you got to make preparations right now. And I mean spiritual preparations. All the other stuff, sure, you buy your food and you buy your whatever it is that the Lord has told you to do. You take care of that, okay? All your supplies, you take care of that. But you need to make spiritual preparations now, because this will save you. If you do not, the Lord has shown me this, if you do not prepare, like I'm telling you, spiritually, you will not make it. You will not make it. This thing is going to destroy a lot. I mean, it's called the destroyer. It's called the destroyer for a reason. It will destroy everything. It will destroy water supplies. It will destroy food supplies. It will destroy cattle. It will destroy animal life. It will destroy trees. It will destroy everything. And so only those that are marked by the Lord, they are sealed by the blood of the Lamb, by the Lord himself, will make it. Okay? And so I just want to leave you with that word. I just want to encourage you to not be afraid. This is not to make you afraid. This is to make you prepared, to make you aware, because this is so close now. Those that of us that know the Lord, we're going to see incredible things. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see angelic manifestations. The angels are going to be very active. I believe that's what the Lord meant when he told me there's a lot of activity taking place in heaven right now, when he told me about the darkness. So, yes, the darkness is coming, but the presence of God is coming. The glory of God is also coming, and he's coming to help his people. He's coming to prepare his people. Do not be afraid. Yes, the finances may collapse. Yes, the economy may collapse. Yes, we may be attacked by nuclear devices. Yes, the terrorists may do their thing. Yes, there may be a war that explodes in the Middle East. Yes, all these things may happen, probably will happen, but those that belong to the Lord, they shall be preserved, okay? They shall be preserved if you follow him and you listen to these words. And even if you don't make it, okay, if you belong to him, even if you are killed, even if you don't make it, you'll be immediately in the presence of the Lord, okay? To be out of the body is to be present with the Lord. And so this is the hope that we have. And many people are listening tonight that you may even belong to the other side. You may belong to the dark side. The Lord is pleading with you tonight. Please, repent. Change. Make it right. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. There's no other way out of this. Okay? There's nowhere to hide. There is nowhere to hide. You cannot hide in your bunkers. Your bunkers are not going to protect you. There's nowhere to hide. So trust in what I've shared with you tonight, because I'm sharing this because I care. I really care for people out there. And I want you to get saved. I want you to make it. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I just pray. I loose the angels of the Lord upon the people listening tonight. I lose the power of the blood of Jesus Christ upon everyone listening tonight. Father, I pray that they turn their hearts around and that they repent of their sins, that they will cause their hearts, Lord, to be after you, Lord, that they will humble themselves, Lord, and cause, Lord, the spirit of repentance to come upon them, that they will give their hearts to you, Lord, tonight, and that they will see the truth in what I'm sharing them, Lord, what I'm sharing with them, Father, that they will not allow the enemy to take the seed that I have planted, Lord, out of their hearts, but that they will listen. That they will listen to what I have been sharing tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you touch the people, Lord, that you cause them to repent, that you cause them to be made whole, that you cause them, Lord, to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And I give you thanks, and I give you praise, Father. And I thank you, Father, for Doug and Joe Hagman, Lord, for the wonderful work that they're doing, Lord, with this radio ministry, Lord, how they're warning the people, Father. I pray your blessing be upon them. Your blessing be on the Hagman and Hagman show, Lord, that the enemy will not touch them, Lord. I pray that you'll bless them, Lord, that you will supply all their needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that they will not, Lord, that they will not suffer, Lord, the persecution, Lord, that I know they're under continual persecution. I pray that they will not be scarred and that they will be protected, that their family will be protected, Father, and that they will be encouraged and strengthened to continue, Lord, and to endure to the end. In the mighty name of Jesus, because great shall be your reward, Doug, and great shall be your reward, Joe. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll tell you, Mr. Perez, what a fantastic show. You've tied up loose ends. You've really laid it out there. And I think people need to hear. And folks, download a copy of this broadcast and share it with someone you care about. So much has been said tonight. And Mr. Perez, I'm going to thank you because your mission statement, your only desire is to glorify Jesus Christ. You've got definitely a rare blend of humility and the power of the Spirit manifest in your life and your ministry, and we want to thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. I know you're a busy man. You've taken three hours out of your time to be with us tonight, and we're very humbled and blessed to have had this time with you. It's powerful. And, you know, I felt touched by the Spirit today. When we talked earlier, I know now why, and I'm thankful, Mr. Perez, that we had time together tonight, because who knows how long we have.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you having me, Doug and Joe, on such a short notice, and I believe that and hope that some of the things I shared were meant to help you. I believe that also some of the loose ends that I helped to tie tonight will help our listeners out there. And I know that a lot of people have many questions. And so if this was a help to someone out there, I consider this show a complete success. And thank you again, both of you.
Mr. Perez, God bless you. Thank you. Stay safe until next time. Just God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
We hope the next time sooner than later, Mr. Perez. God bless you.
God bless you, Joe. Mr. Perez.
All right.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Augusto Perez. Visit his website at theappearance.com. That's theappearance.com. What a tremendous man. Really, from the heart, I certainly felt moved in the spirit by what he was saying. And I got to tell you, you know, we look at the news, the headlines show, you and I, we go over everything, all this analysis, and without the benefit of biblical, without looking at this through, you know, the prism of Scripture, it really doesn't make any sense. But boy, did Mr. Perez make a lot of sense tonight, you know, he really did. So I just have to say it was just, fantastic.
And the way that it was set up that he came on tonight was no accident.
No, not
for
at all.
For those of you who missed the very beginning of the show, go back and listen to the first 10 minutes and listen to how this was either a ridiculous coincidence, which I believe not, or a divine nudge, which I believe is the case.
And that's pretty much how we've been living our lives, with just a number of divine nudges. I just want to say, too, we have a group of people listening in real time in Afghanistan. I want to thank you for your service, and God bless you folks, you men and women over there.
And I want to thank all the listeners. I've been getting some emails from people locally. Tim at the airport. A few others from Erie. Reaching out to us, letting us know that they're listening. If you are in Erie and listening, definitely get a hold of us. Send us an email. We really appreciate it. And God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe tonight, and God willing, we will be here at the same time tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.